Welcome back to Overdue. I'm Mrs. Watts, your Annex Librarian.
And I'm Coach Hill, your main building Librarian. In today's episode, we chat with the Library Media Specialist at White House Middle School, and we also spotlight a few books available for checkout that relate to the upcoming presidential election. But first, let's dust off the cover of some books on YALSA's top 10 list.
All right, so we're dusting off the cover of some top 10 books from YALSA.
Fun.
Yes. So before we get into the books, I wanted to talk about what the list is. So YALSA organizes this nomination and voting of books every year. Teens are the ones that nominate the books.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that, actually.
Yes,
cool.
They do. So that teens can apply to be a part of these book groups that are given the lists of published books within a calendar year. And then they nominate a top 20, I think. But then after that, teens all over the country can vote for their favorites from that selection to give us this top 10 of books voted on by teens. So it is pretty cool. So we have a list today of the nominees for 2020. And if you want to go vote on those nominees, the voting ends on October 15th. So you've got one more day to go do that.
Yeah, like tomorrow.
It
is. If you're listening to this the day that it airs, then you have until tomorrow.
As you should.
Right.
I mean, right? Okay.
All four of you.
Yes. No, just kidding. but we did want to point out some books that we have in the libraries from these lists that were voted on by teens just like you. And so we'll start with some of the realistic titles for this year's nominees.
So this is the ones that people would be voting on when you say the 15th, like tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So there is a list of books that you can go vote on to become the top 10 of 2020.
And that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, okay. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have six of those books in our libraries. So two of them are realistic fiction. The first title is With the Fire on High, and I actually read this book last year, and it was so good. It was so good. It's about this teen girl who becomes pregnant and then goes through the pregnancy and finishes out high school as a teen mom. She lives with just her mother, and it's a really good book, and it's about just her talent for cooking, too, and how that kind of drives her to finish school amongst
other
things.
That's got cooking in it, you're going to read.
Anything that's got cooking in it, I'm going to read. Yes.
And I don't have to read it because you'll just tell me about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes, I don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So With the Fire on High is a nominee. Frankly in Love is a nominee. It's also realistic. And then we've got two fantasy titles, Wayward Son and These Witches Don't Burn, which is actually a sequel. So we've got both of those books in the library. Then we've got two graphic novels. One is Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me, and the other one you just recently read, Pumpkinheads.
I did read Pumpkinheads, yeah. I was making my Halloween display in the library here.
Yeah.
And it's a fall book. I mean, it's called Pumpkinheads.
Yeah.
And so, do you want to talk about it? About Pumpkinheads?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Pumpkinheads is a graphic novel. It is about two high school seniors that work at a pumpkin patch, but it's more than a pumpkin patch. It's like a whole immersive fall thing where there's a s'mores area.
Like a fall festival. Yeah. It's a big thing.
It's more than just a pumpkin patch.
Neat.
And so they work there, and this is their last time working there because they're seniors, so they'll be going off to college next year. So the book is them traveling around all the different stations at the park in search of this girl. I can't remember her name, but this girl that the main guy character is totally in love with, even though he's never talked to her before.
Yeah.
And so his friend, who's a girl, is helping him.
I'm already creating what happens with these friends.
She's like, dude, we're not going to work here for this long, and you're just going to have this fantasy of this girl in your head, and you haven't even spoken a word to her.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find her. And so, of course, they stop at seemingly every place in the park along the way, and things happen. And it was a fun read, and it was we had one of our episodes about graphic novels, and it was just I didn't time myself. But it's just something you can sit down and read.
Pretty quickly.
And read the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And not some people say I read this book in one sitting, and they're talking about a novel that took them 3 or 4 hours to read.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. We're talking under an hour here.
Yeah.
I don't know now that I say that, like, I don't know if I'm paying as much attention as I should to graphic novel artwork when I read. Like, I look at it, obviously, because it helps tell the story. You can't just read the words. You have to look at the pictures.
It's true. That's part of it.
But I'm wondering now, like, if I'm spending enough time.
Oh, like if you're missing something with the artwork?
Maybe. So maybe the next time I grab one.
Yeah. And the thing I like about that is it is kind of seasonal. And so if you can't commit a large chunk of time to it, like a novel that goes with this season, that's kind of great. Just a little fun.
It was fun. It was a fun book. Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
I like it.
Especially if you're at that age, you know, high school, you know, towards the end of high school there, you can probably relate to some of the things that the characters are going through.
Well, actually, we have some high schoolers that work at the like local corn mazes and pumpkin patches and farms in White House and
Portland.
Like, we've run into them before. Yeah. So that, I mean, it is relevant.
Yeah, that's it was a fun read. It was a quick read. It was just something that I like grabbed off the shelf to put on my display and had a few minutes one day and just read it. So, and I'm glad I did. So, Rachel did the
nominees.
You did the nominees that we have, not all the nominees, just the ones that we have available
just
for checkout,
the ones
right?
We have available.
Okay, and so I'm going to do the same thing with last year's winners.
Okay.
So there's 10 winners, and we have six of the winners available for checkout from 2019. And just as a related but slight aside here, I did just this morning, the day that we're recording here, I did order the four remaining ones that we didn't have.
Which will be good.
Yeah, very soon we'll have all 10 winners from last year's list available for checkout.
Winner, chicken dinner.
But, okay. But we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I do have a math degree. But anyways, we have six of last year's winners available for checkout. Two of them are realistic fiction. One is The Poet X, and the other is American Panda. Three of them are fantasy. We have Children of Blood and Bone. We have Thunderhead, and we have The Cruel Prince. And then we also have the graphic novel Batman Nightwalker that was on last year's top 10 list.
Which I'm actually interested to read that one. It's by Marie Lu, and she has a lot of other fantasy novels that like I'm more familiar of associating her name with. So I didn't realize she had this. It seems different.
Well, make sure you actually check it out to yourself so that our circ numbers look better.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'll do
trick
that.
Of the trade there, Watts.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Did you do that with pumpkin heads?
I didn't actually.
See, here we go.
I didn't. It was a very like spur of the moment read. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was a very spur of the moment read. But I can go like retroactively check it out to myself. I mean, I did read it, right? So
that's
I should.
True.
Yeah.
It's true.
Okay, so that's done. So let's switch gears a little bit here. We're gonna
talk to Ms. Bauer.
Yeah, we're gonna head down the road here. And head over to the middle school, actually, and talk with Miss Bauer, who is the librarian over there.
Mm-hmm. That we both worked with.
Yes, that we both on in one way or the other have worked with. Yeah, I don't know how else I was going to try to say that. But anyways, man, we just came off fall break, and I'm struggling here to.
We're going to go have an interview.
With Miss Bauer.
With Miss Bauer.
At the middle school.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we traveled down the road a bit. We're here at the White House Middle School with the library media specialist, Ms. Sandra Bauer. Thank you for having us here and sitting down with us and chatting. This is fun. It's fun for both of us because we both have a little bit of a connection here with you and your library. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rachel more than me. Rachel, you know.
I have sought out Ms. Bauer for tech help multiple times as a teacher here. So, yeah.
Yeah, and when I went back to school to get my master's to be a librarian, I got a good chunk of my field hours here with you and your library. So, yeah, thanks again for hosting us. Let's just start off. Why don't you tell us about something you're reading or recently read or whatever and what it's about.
Okay. I have been reading Jojo Moyes. Is that how you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
We'll default to you.
Sorry, yeah. Jojo.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. But anyway, I read The Giver of Stars. It is about librarians back in the 30s who they needed people to write to go on horseback and deliver books to people out in the Appalachian.
Wow. Oh, cool.
And so it's kind of a fiction, historical fiction type thing. It's got some really interesting characters and some really good backstories.
A little bit of Pony Express style.
Yeah, a little bit of Pony Express and a little bit of drama, a little bit of romance and things like that. I could see it being a movie someday.
Oh, cool. It sounds really neat. So I've that's not a heard good of
that.
Book.
Me either. I'll have to check that one out.
And I think you would enjoy that
literally.
One. So try it out. And of course, I read all the stuff everybody read last year. I read Where the Crawdads Sing, and I read Educated by Tara Westover.
Oh man, what a book!
I love it. I mean, it was tough. It was a tough read, but
it was.
Just really, really enjoyed reading that. So yeah, that's kind of. And I actually read the book Atomic City Girls.
I haven't heard of that one.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's about, I go back to historical fiction type, it was about Oak Ridge around when they were building the bomb, and it's called The Building of Oak Ridge, and the people who worked there. And a lot of times they would bring people out of their Appalachian homes to work at the plant and things like that. And it was the stories, backstories about that, and how they had no idea what was going on.
Right.
And so that's a very interesting story with a Tennessee connection.
I'll say, and relatively local to us. Yeah.
Yes.
That is really neat.
So tell us how long you've been the librarian here at the middle school, and how did you get into the field?
Wow. I've only been about here about 7 years.
Okay.
You know, I started out as a computer teacher at over across the hall, and that's kind of my first love. I was home for about 10 years with my kids. At that time, I got my master's in administration supervision. And then I taught part-time at a small private school doing tech support and technology classes and things like that. And then this position came open at White House Middle School, the computer teacher. So I just started working there. And then I was sitting around. I was like, I'm always got something going on in my head. I was thinking, I think I'd like to try library science and see how I would like that. I've always had a love of the library. I mean, I was an avid reader growing up. I just love being in the library, and I love to read. And I said, well, I'm going to try a couple of classes and see if I like it. First time I ever did online classes. That was new, very new. But I did that while my daughter and son were in high school. And I don't know, one thing led to another, and
here you are.
And here I am. And so I've only been here about 7 years.
But we were talking before we hit record here about how much of a role you still have with tech, with this world. That's where you started, but it's still very much a part of what you're doing on a daily basis.
It is. I do a lot of tech support. I'm a Sumner Connect lead this year, which is, you know, we have changed a lot of our teaching the way we have to do a lot of online, a lot of virtual. And I have worked with teachers trying to help them set up just a good setup. You know, it just something as easy as a dual monitor or, just setting up the dock camera to use it correctly or a good microphone. I have my Amazon account just exploded. I had bought so many adapters, HDMI to USB, USB to HDMI, VGA.
Right.
I mean, just somebody always has something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like troubleshooting. So
well, the school's so lucky that you have such a strong tech background.
Yeah,
that it's such a natural fit for you, especially in these times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yes. And being in the library gives me the flexibility to go out, and if I need to spend 30 minutes in a teacher's classroom, I can sometimes. So it is helpful. So
that's awesome. What is your favorite part of the job, and what is the most challenging part of the job? So kind of a twofold question. You can start with your favorite or the challenge, whichever one.
Well, my favorite part of the job is I love working with students to help them find what they enjoy reading.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. I love to work with students one-on-one and talk with them and try to figure out what they like and what they don't like. And many times I will order things just trying to make sure that these students can get what they want.
Right.
A variety. And I love working with the faculty, and I love, you know, finding out what they need, you know, whether it's something books or is it something technical that they need.
Mm-hmm.
But just trying to be a listening ear and trying to understand the needs.
I feel like our role is really unique in being able to kind of fill those kinds of needs that would just enhance students' lives or teachers' classrooms. It's kind of the unique perk of being a librarian. So what's the most challenging part of your job?
Well, I think keeping students motivated to read. I don't know about you, but I have so many students come in and go, I don't like to read, or I'm too busy to read. I come home and I've just got so much going on. I'm so busy. And which has a lot to do with our society and how people, what they do when they go home. We've been doing so much running. And so there's a lot of distractions for students. And also we're in a, you know, what is it, a social media society where it's so much easier to find your information just pulling up on your phone. Yeah. And a lot of times, I think when you look at your phone so much, I think it kind of dissuades you to want to read.
Right.
I don't know if y'all agree with that or not, but it's just easier to get that small bits of information. So you just kind of have to try to meet these students where they are.
Well, there's an overlap between your favorite part, the reader's advisory part, about helping kids find a book that they'll sit down and enjoy reading. And then that biggest challenge of not wanting to read, there's a pretty significant cross there between the two. So yeah,
there is. And it is, it's a struggle.
Keeps you busy, I'm sure.
It keeps me busy. And it's just becoming, I don't know, sometimes it's definitely a challenge, and sometimes you kind of walk away. And then sometimes when you can find those books for those students and they're happy and they keep coming back, it just makes everything, that worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So
feels like good. A win.
It's a win.
Yeah.
So tell us about over your career, over your time in the library, what some of the biggest changes are in the function of the library that you've seen personally.
Well, we are trying to make the library more into a hub of learning. You know, people can come in and they can have a place to study, or they have a place to, work on a report, or they have a place to work on a project. It could be one or two students. It doesn't have to be a whole class.
Mm-hmm.
We've had students, especially this 9 weeks, come in, especially if they were here every day of the week because they were teacher's kids, just to come in and just work on those off days and things like that. And so also faculty and clubs use this space a lot. It needs to be used.
Sure.
It needs to be used in that function. It's just a learning environment, a learning hub.
And there's a whole lot of meaning with the library physical location in the school building.
Yeah.
Right in the middle, you have access on both sides, and three of the four sides, really. There's doors in, and that there's so much meaning in the specific placement of the library in the school building relative to all of the things that you're talking about.
Yes, and we just got new carpet in about 2 years ago, which, it was hard moving things around, but I don't know, just gave it a different feel, and also gave me an opportunity to move shelving around, kind of just make it a different, so I try to set up areas where maybe students can have a little bit more privacy, different kind of, just areas that kind of set them apart, and try to spread things out a little bit more. And I like the setup.
Mm, it's always fun to freshen up a space.
It is.
So what's going on in your library that you are most excited about?
Well, I'm still genre-fying fiction. Don't laugh. But every summer,
come back and help you with that.
we're chuckling because when I was getting my master's and I was getting some field hours here with Ms. Bauer, when you started, right?
Yes.
I took some crates of books home and some stickers, and I did it while I was here too. But
Yeah,
we're laughing because that was a couple of years ago now.
It is, and since then, I've moved the location of the sticker on the book, and I don't know. Every summer, I think I'm going to get it done. Something happens, like carpet, or just a pandemic, things like that. So I'm really close, and I'm very excited about getting that done. It was so funny. I had one of my library helpers, and it was like, well, why do you want to genre of fiction? And I was like, because we have 5th through 8th grade here. So 5th graders particularly come in, and it's like, okay, we want you to find a book by Meg Cabot or, Rick Riordan or, Carl Heisen. And they're like, what? Where are they?
Right.
Yeah.
So sometimes just knowing that you can go over to the mysteries and look for a mystery book or a or a historical fiction book.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying about students maybe not knowing what they want to read. You know, right. Your readers, they're going to read no matter how your library is set up. They're going to find the books they want to read. They're going to browse however they want to browse, and they're going to check out their books and take them home and read them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm walking in here and I'm not quite sure even what I want to read or what I'm interested in, if I see these breakdowns of genres, mm-hmm. I at least might gravitate towards one. Even right. if I don't stay there, right?
Yeah.
At least I have a starting place.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just alphabetical, A through Z, mm-hmm. I'm just looking at a big wall of books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think students just get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pull something on the shelf to say that they've got a book. And
sure.
they never read it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put it back. And so I'm hoping this will give them more access and just try to have them encourage that reading.
Yeah.
Like right now in Wit and Wisdom, everything has been historical fiction. You have Bud Not Buddy, you mm-hmm. have Thunder Roll in the Mountains, you have The Castle Diary,
yeah.
except for eighth grade. They read The Crossover. And but it's lending that, you know, they come in, it's like, okay, you're reading historical fiction. Would you like to read more historical fiction?
Right.
And so a lot of them want to.
Yes.
So it is, you know, so it gives them an opportunity to go and find that historical fiction book and be able to see what it's about.
I'm thinking back to, you know, we've been in the, Rachel and I, when I say we've been librarians for such a small amount of time, but I'm thinking back to last year when some of the freshman English classes would come in to get a book for independent reading,
mm-hmm.
and how quickly the boys, not that this is just limited to boys, but this was my experience last year, how quickly the boys would go to the sports mm-hmm. section of the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that shelf was always picked over. I mean, maybe a mm-hmm. book or two left after all the freshman English classes came mm-hmm. through. And I don't know, like we were saying, if I just had them mixed in, you know, mm-hmm. A through Z, I don't know if that necessarily would have been the case. But they know right where to go. They know right where they are. And even if
right.
I move them, there's a sign, you know, here they are. So, I mean, I don't have any quantifiable data, you know, mm-hmm. to compare it to, but seems like it's working.
That's good. That's really good.
Well, when you think about how they sort through the things they're interested in, like music, like stores, bookstores like Barnes & Noble, they're all set up by categories. They're going to go to their mm-hmm. interests. So, like, they're used to finding information that way or finding what they enjoy that way. But
yeah, when I came to the library, like, all the 741s were all together, and that's
mm-hmm.
when graphic novels mm-hmm. That's another thing. I have now a whole section of graphic novels.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, they are independent. They're
yes.
over here.
And I think
sitting over here. And I've moved them over here.
Uh-huh.
And because they were all together with sports and
yes.
everything is
no,
all
they
in
need
recreation.
Their own section.
They do.
Oh, my goodness. And so that was one of the first things I did. I started separating all that out. And sports is separated. Like, there's a football shelf. There's a
mm-hmm.
basketball shelf. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put graphic novels all by themselves because
they're popular,
and
they can go right to them.
I mean, mm-hmm. another collection I started was books for ESL students,
mm-hmm.
English,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. yes. And so I have got several books that are in Spanish, and just to help encourage those students to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they just need that. I know
yeah.
we're supposed to, encourage them to read English speaking books, but sometimes it's nice to have books that are in Spanish as well.
Sure.
If we're just talking about like we've been just promoting reading, right?
Mm-hmm. Promoting reading.
Yeah, read. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And another thing we're doing is developing audio for teachers to use with their students. And that's when I was talking about the Wit and Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We're reading. Sometimes I read, and sometimes I go back and go, wow, I didn't really sound that good. But sometimes
that's how we feel too.
We do
that
every time when we're editing the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, my Southern drawl comes out. I'm like, stop, you know. So, but it's good. It's good for teachers to be able to give an audio out, especially during this time, and add it to their
mm-hmm.
Google Classroom.
Very
so
cool.
That's just something I've enjoyed doing.
So I have one question that we use for all of our guests, and the question is, what's your preference, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Nice.
With a little pumpkin spice creamer in it right
Ooh,
now.
That sounds good.
Tis the season.
Well, I love it.
We have enjoyed talking with you. Thanks
yes,
so much for
thank
having
you so
us.
Much.
It's fun to be back. And to students and teachers in our White House High School community, if you need a pick-me-up, come to either library for coffee, tea, hot chocolate, cappuccino, whatever your taste for the day. And we're going to move on to take the last sip.
So
So the 2020 presidential election is just about 3 weeks away here. So we figured that we would spotlight a few books that we have on the topic. And I'll be making just a little kind of mini display for these books that I'll have right next to my Halloween display. And we could have done this for the next episode, which would have been right before the election. Yeah. But we're hoping, right? We're hoping to dedicate the next episode to all things Halloween.
Something spooky.
Yeah, we're hoping at least. So one of the things I'll have on the display is a biography of each candidate. I tried to pick books that were as unbiased as possible. Yeah. So one that we already have in the collection is just titled Donald Trump, 45th U.S. President by Dominic Reston. And like I said, this is just a straight up biography about his family, his businesses, his celebrity status, and then, of course, his political career. Mm-hmm. Just facts, you know, I mean, right. nothing more, nothing less, just right. facts about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything on Joe Biden. So and I honestly struggled finding a like third party written biography about Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find an autobiography that he wrote called Promises to Keep on Life and Politics. Now, this was published back in 2008, right? That was the year he was on the ticket with Barack
yeah.
Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say it's outdated, but just a heads up that this book only goes through 2008. But this is just an autobiography that is
still gives readers a background.
For sure. And as best as I can tell without actually reading it or getting my hands on it, it is an autobiography that is just exactly that. It's an autobiography. It just mm-hmm. talks about his early life up until that point
yeah.
in 2008. I don't know how much it talks about the 2008 election at all. I just know that that's when the book came out and
yeah.
that's where, of course, his timeline, at least for that book, ends. But we also have two other ones, right, yeah. that you're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have another nonfiction that doesn't deal with either of the candidates in this year's election, but it would be a great book for going into any election. It's called Votes of Confidence, A Young Person's Guide to American Elections by Jeff Fleischer. I'm not sure. I should have looked that up. My bad. So this was written in 2016, so pretty recent. Yeah. And when I was looking at it online, I haven't read it, but we do have it pulled, and I would like to kind of take a look at it.
Yeah, I was thumbing through it, and it seems especially if you're a high schooler and you're kind of just not learning about politics, but you're not, you know, you don't think about it much when you're 8 years old.
Right, you're still trying
yeah.
to get your mind wrapped around
it. Yeah, it's really cool actually. It seems like it's well written.
Mm-hmm. So all the reviews were great. Just how he like casually shares how the election process works in the U.S., why it matters. And so it's very like nonfiction. It's informative, but he uses stories and little historical anecdotes to kind of weave it all together.
Cool.
And I loved what one, I think it was the School Library Journal, said that it promotes political participation in young adults, which is what you want.
Yeah.
Like you want to inform them and get them participating. Whichever way
I think
they
civic
to go.
Engagement
yes.
is what it's called by our government teacher here.
Gotcha.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that would be a really good one to pick out if you're interested in being more involved in just the elections and our political system. So we also have a fiction title called Vote for Larry by Janet T. Tosh-Jin.
You're not going to go after
Tosh-Jin.
That one.
I
you did go after them. Good for
I
you.
Did.
Yeah.
And so this, like I said, is a fiction novel about a 17-year-old boy. This follows another book. Sorry, the first one was The Gospel According to Larry.
Okay.
And so this is the second in that
okay.
series. And so in this book, the 17-year-old teen is building a movement to change the presidential age and succeeds in that. And then so it's really more about him running for president against Bush and Kerry in the 2004 election.
As interesting.
Part. Yeah,
yeah.
So set in a real election, but just with a unique teen twist.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Cool.
So those are some books we have that could help you gear up for the election here in a few weeks.
Yeah, November 3rd.
Yeah, and that's all we have for you today. So it's time for us to check out. Don't forget to follow us at BDP_library on Twitter and Instagram for library updates, news, and giveaways. And don't forget to share us with a friend.
Yeah, be sure to check back with us every other Wednesday for the next episode of Overdue. Make time to read. Thanks for listening.